Maybe some of my partners here can get the microphone ready for me. Twenty years ago when I stood up here at the podium, my eyes were as sharp as the eagle's. I could glance at these words and they just came alive. Today, as all you older people know, things have changed. The glasses have to come on, and nothing is quite as clear. But I do know that our Redeemer lives, and I do know that He will return. The question is, will we be standing here waiting for Him when He comes, or will some of us turn their backs on Him? There's a problem that's arisen in Messianic Judaism that has bothered me for the past 3 years that needs discussion and it needs our concern. Tonight I want to bring that problem to you and discuss it with you, because this is a place where it needs discussion, right in a congregation, right among the people. Messianic Judaism, by definition of its name, has two foundations. The primary foundation is messianic, or Messiah, or Christ. That's the primary foundation. And the secondary foundation is Judaism. Now, the foundation built on Christ is built on a personal relationship with Christ through the scriptures, through prayer, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Pure or true Christianity is built on a personal relationship with God through Christ. The foundation built on Judaism is built on scripture, on prayer, on good works, on laws, on customs and traditions. True Christianity is a relationship. Judaism is a religion. Those are two very different concepts. The Apostle Paul was a wise master builder who laid a foundation by God's grace and by God's authority throughout the Middle East and Asia. He left us a warning. When we build on the foundation already laid, he said, be careful of what materials we add to that foundation. He said, let no man lay a foundation other than Jesus Christ. I'd like to read to you his words, because he left them for us in Scripture so that we can learn from them. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, with silver, with precious stones, with wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Now, there are some unwise builders in Messianic Judaism today who would like to shift the primary foundation from Christ to Judaism. From a personal relationship with God through Christ to a religion of laws, of customs and traditions. It's my belief that they are building with wood, hay, straw, and stubble. And in the end, their work will be turned to ashes. They do not realize that a foundation built on a personal relationship with Christ is absolutely necessary in order to enter the kingdom of heaven and to inherit the gift of eternal life. Let me tell you why a foundation of Christ is absolutely essential to enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus, a religious member of the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee, came to Jesus by night looking for answers. Because he saw Jesus, he heard his words, he saw his miracles, he knew that Jesus came from God. He also left us the words for posterity in the scriptures. Let's take a look at his words. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." He cannot see it. He's blind. And Jesus goes on. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" Jesus answered again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus therefore said, before you can enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Now, what does that mean to be born again? And how does it happen? And another question, can you be born again if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Those are three easy questions that we want to answer. First of all, what does it mean to be born again? I know if I asked the people here, I would get a dozen different answers of what it means to be born again. It means different things to different people. In other words, there are various explanations. I will share one of the explanations that I have for myself. First of all, an absolute requirement for the new birth and for salvation is that you must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is an absolute. Without receiving him into your heart as Lord and Savior, all the rest of it is by the board. That is the first step. When you receive Christ and acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior, you will receive the seal of the Holy Spirit as a gift, which simply means that the Holy Spirit has taken residence in you. You are now a temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you are born again. That's the meaning of being born again. Jesus now lives in you. You are a new creation. Old things have passed. New things have come. And of course, the new thing is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of Christ in you is called the new man. He will help you fight against sin, the temptations of the old man in you, the world, and the devil. Without Christ in you, you're lost. You have some terrific enemies that are fighting a battle against you that doesn't want to see you saved. You have some enemies in this world that is not out for your good. He's out to destroy you, to steal, kill, and destroy. And the only one that can help you and save you from that is Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you, the new man to help you fight all the battles. Now, when you're born again, you're going to receive a multitude of blessings and gifts, which you may not even be aware of. But you all, if you have received Christ as Lord, you all have received all these gifts. It's like having a bank account in the bank. You're a millionaire. We're all millionaires who have received Christ. But unless you know what you have in the bank, you might as well be a pauper. We're rich. But you have to know how to draw it out of the bank. You have to know how to deal with God through the Holy Spirit. If you don't know that, you're lost. It's like the slaves in Africa. Lincoln set them free, but they didn't know what to do with the freedom. They wandered around. Even though they were free, they still wandered around like slaves. Well, Christ has set us free. He lives in us. He's given us these blessings. The Holy Spirit lives in us. But we have to learn how to work with the Holy Spirit, which is what I'm going to try to teach you a little bit tonight. When you're born again, as I said, you receive a multitude of blessings and gifts, which you may not be aware of. You become a child of God. God is now your Father. You're a child of the King. It's natural for your Heavenly Father to shower you with blessings and gifts. He's rich. He's powerful. First, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Then God saw to it that you received every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Not just a couple of spiritual blessings. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places are yours right now. They're yours to draw on, every blessing. Then God forgave all your sins and reckoned you as righteous and holy and blameless. These blessings and gifts are yours because God loves Jesus and because God loves you. And He wants to adopt you as His sons and daughters and give you the gift of eternal life. And He's left that for us in writing so that you can claim it. Just like you take your will and you can bring it down to the judges, Jesus has left His will for us in the Scriptures. It's listed for us in Romans chapter 8. Let's see if we can read that for you. I'm reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 14, and it says this, "For all of you who are being led by the Spirit of God, you are sons and daughters of God. If you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you're listening to the Holy Spirit and following His lead, then you are sons and daughters of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. It's the Spirit Himself who bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, we're heirs also." Now, God says we're heirs, fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. Do you know what God wants to give us as an heir of Jesus with Jesus Christ? He wants to give us the very same thing He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. Does anybody know what God gave as Jesus gave His Son, Jesus Christ, as a present? Well, don't guess. I'll tell you. God gave Himself to Jesus Christ. When you love, God is love. He's Spirit and He's love. And one of the things that love does is just give. Love has a tendency to always give of itself. In the beginning, God was so filled with love that when Jesus, His Son, came along, God just filled Him with Himself. And that's what God wants to do with you. As part of your inheritance, God will fill you with Himself. He'll fill you with all the fruits of His Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. And when we are filled with God, then that is the thing that we've been hunting for and searching for all these years. It's not out there in toys and money and power, in anything there. Everything that we've been looking for is God in us, the hope of glory. Well, you've been born again. You're a new creation. The Spirit of Christ lives in you. But what is the point of all that I have said? Can any of these gifts and blessings happen without a personal relationship to Jesus Christ? No answer. Can any of those blessings happen without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? No, absolutely not. Without Jesus Christ as your sure foundation, you can have absolutely nothing. Jesus said, "Nobody comes to the Father except through me." If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have no Jesus. No Jesus, you have no new birth. No new birth, you have no Father. No Father, you have no blessings and no gifts. You're not a child of the King anymore. God is not your Father. Your sins are not forgiven. You're not holy. You're still separated from God. You're destined for judgment and eternal separation from God. This should be a warning to all believers, to you, and to those unwise leaders in the church and in the messianic synagogues. Do not try to change the primary foundation from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to some other form of religion or a doctrine. Without Christ, there is no way. There is no truth. There is no light, only darkness and destruction. Avoid these churches that do not have Christ as the primary foundation we stand on. Now, some of you may be wondering what I mean by a personal relationship with Jesus. Let me explain my meaning. During the time of Moses, under the Old Covenant, the only one who could draw close to God was the high priest, and he could only draw close once a year on Yom Kippur. God stood far off from the common people, lest his holiness and his glory break out on the people and destroy them. You see, all the people were sinners from the birth of Adam onward. They could not stand in the presence of a holy God and live. On Mount Sinai, when Israel received the covenant, they were terrified. They were terrified with fear and trembling at the sight of God and the sound of it. Let me read you a little bit from that and see if you can feel with the people what they felt when God came down to speak to them. I'm reading from the book of Exodus, little excerpts from 19 and 20. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I shall come to you in a thick cloud, in order that the people may hear when I speak. When I speak with you, and may also believe in you forever." Then Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord also said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today, and tomorrow let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." So it came about on the third day when it was morning that there was thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud, very thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet. Tehillah Gadolah, the shofar, the long, loud sound, and the smoke and the lightning, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. They trembled. And all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, in order that you may fear him and may remain with him so that you may not sin." So the people stood at a distance, far away from God, while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. The people were deathly afraid to come close to God. And the reason I explained, everybody from Adam onward were sinners. God was a holy God filled with righteousness. You could not look upon him or get near him. His glory, his holiness would break out on the people and destroy them. But it's not, today it's not like that. Under the new covenant, it's very different. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus and you're born again, Christ lives in you through the Holy Spirit. There is nothing to fear. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for you. Your sins have been forgiven, and you are a child of God, the King. Because the Spirit of Christ is in you, Jesus can be in your presence always. You don't have to be afraid of God. You don't have to be afraid of Jesus and stand away. As a matter of fact, what you want to do is welcome him into you. You want him to be in your presence 24 hours a day, all the time. Not only as Lord, but as a friend, as a true friend, and a constant companion. To walk with him, and to talk with him, and to watch over you in good times and bad. If God is with you, who can be against you? Can you feel the comfort that you would have and can have because you're a child of God? God is your Father, and he's sitting inside of you and beckoning you not to stay far away. He wants this relationship with you. He says, come, come to me. I want to be your friend. I want to live inside of you. You're a temple of God. I want to live in there. And he has promised never to leave you, never to forsake you. If you love Jesus and obey his word, he said, I will love you and my Father will love you and we will come and we will abide in you. This is his promise. If you love me, I will love you and my Father will love you and we'll come and abide in you. I am the vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. With me, you just bear fruit. Much fruit. Love, peace, and joy beyond understanding are the gifts that they always bring to those who they love and have those who have faith to believe their words and to obey. Let me encourage you all to develop a personal relationship with Jesus through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Invite him in. Welcome him in your house, not only as Lord, but as your friend and constant companion. It will bring you great joy and peace in the days to come. And when he returns, you will be here waiting for him. God bless you all.